Good morning.
Oh, man, the voice is bad.
Oh, good morning. The temperature is 0 degrees. The time is 8:06. My voice comes and goes these days. It'll be fine for, and then it'll go away. It'll be back. It'll be fine. I'm Chad Holmes, fighting through, again, lack of voice. I feel good. I feel fine. Except I have no voice. And it's so frustrating because it's like, if I'm going to be a moving guy, I don't have my muscles. It is the Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Later on today, we'll be joined by, from the Grand Theater and the WASA Performing Arts Foundation by Executive Director Sean Wright. He'll be joining us in the second hour of the program. But very happy to welcome in a man that I'm sure has a terrific voice this morning, Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh.
Sorry. I know you're going. What it's like because I've had those situations before.
And I've been working on it.
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, with all the caps, the gloves, the scarves, and all the extra layers, that I left my liquid that I bring with me. I still in my car. So I forgot to bring that in. So if I start, you know, drifting off into area, then you'll understand.
We got a refrigerator with some
all
just
right.
for you.
All right, yeah. All right. I just wanted to tell everybody. I hope everybody out there is doing okay with this cold weather. It's a snap of cold weather that we haven't had for a while.
No.
And, you know, it really is funny when people, you know, who live in the state of Wisconsin for all their lives and they, and I meet them and they say, my gosh, is it cold? It's January in Wisconsin. Come on.
We have seen much worse.
A lot worse.
I mean, there were years where it would be air temperature 25 below and mm-hmm. then add the wind chill.
I remember the Super Bowl weekend when the Dan Marino's only Super Bowl. I think it was 1985. I'm saying, yeah.
84 season, 85 a year.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because that weekend, myself and two friends from Port Washington, we drove to Minneapolis to go see the Minnesota North Stars playing the Philadelphia Flyers. And we were driving through the state of Wisconsin, and the local radio people are going, well, a high today of 15 below zero, wind chills of minus 50. And that was just going through the state. And we get to Minnesota. We get to the Met. The Met Center.
Yep.
And we get to our hotel, and first thing we did was take the battery out of my car to try to help the next morning. It didn't help. But we walked from the hotel to that night, and they were talking 70 below wind chill, 80 below. And they'd get it right up to 99 below zero, but they would never say 100 below.
Did it really get that cold?
Well, it was 100? A 25 below air temperature, and the wind, steady winds were like 30 to 35. It was seriously bad. And I always, you know, tell people, you don't know what cold is until where I'm only less than a block away from the entrance into the hotel, right? And, you know, my friends were going back and forth and saying, you know, silly things. Isn't this fun? You know, and, you know, just trying to, you know, get a, help us walk faster, run even. And all of a sudden I took a deep breath in with my mouth open and I took saliva right into the wind, right into my windpipe, and it froze immediately.
Holy cow.
And I could not exhale or inhale. It was just like somebody had their hands around my throat. And I couldn't talk. And my friends, and so I broke right into, like, you know, running. And they're like, uh-oh, something's wrong. And I got to the door and got into the vestibule, you know, and that first warm air hit. And finally it cleared away. That is cold.
That is scary, to be honest with you.
I honestly, if I would have had to go further, who knows?
Oof.
And like your friends are going to help out, you know.
On that joyous note.
Yes, good morning. Cheer up, everybody. Could be worse.
Hey, big news this week. Not here, but nationally. Iowa caucuses. It's almost like going back to Salem, Massachusetts in the 1850s. Oh, yeah.
1650s, yeah.
What? I mean, it's... You know who loves it? The media loves it. Because you can go sit down at a cafe table, have a slice of pie, talk to a Trump supporter and find out why do you support Donald Trump? But the Democrats got it right. That they decided, hey, we need to have states that are more representative of the country to make these decisions where you're winnowing the process. We're not seeing it with the Democrats this year because despite Dean Phillips and his efforts, President Biden appears to be by far the favorite to be the nominee. But growing up, I always loved the start of the process. I've been somebody that's been very much in love with politics. I have never seen a process, the run-up and then Iowa itself, that was more depressing. Because normally, and I blame this on Donald Trump again, normally, if you're a party that loses an election, presidential election, you do a little bit of soul-searching and say, okay, where did we go right? Where did we go wrong? But because Donald Trump refuses to leave the stage, refuses to acknowledge that he received fewer votes and lost an election, this was the least substantive run-up to first votes in a presidential election year that I can ever recall.
Well, just turnout tells you the story. 13%, not 13% of the total people eligible to vote in the state of Iowa, 13% of registered Republicans bothered to show up for these gatherings, and that's what they are, is gatherings.
You go to cookies are good, though.
It's nice to meet your neighbors and that. I've got no problem with that. But let's also get to the realization here, ladies and gentlemen, of some of the past winners of the Iowa caucuses. Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz, remember him? He was in 2016. Yeah. He was supposed to be, wow, this guy's really something. He's going to be our next Republican nominee for president. Pat Robertson. you want me to go on? I mean,
Dick Gephardt. President Gephardt.
Dick Gephardt, who was a congressman for many years. And now, the point I'm making, folks, is it's nice, it's quaint, but as far as the importance to the overall scheme of things, if you're taking the slice of Iowa and making that as an example of the United States of America, well, it's one of 50 states, and it's a unique state, and I have relatives in Iowa, they're in-laws, relatives, and it's a nice area in that, but the needs and the wants and the things that drive them mostly have very little to do with national politics. It's very, very, very local. Where the candidates come in there and they basically funnel into that particular way of trying to convince people to vote for them.
But also, over the years, I'd watch C-SPAN a lot during Iowa and New Hampshire. They'd have those little meetings. This year, it wasn't the same. I mean, it felt like this year, it's all just a charade. I mean, it is... There's so little substance right now with discussing. I mean, all they talk about is, we got to get rid of Joe Biden. Well, but what issues are they talking about?
I mean,
there's none.
And, first of all, having issues out there, or maybe, complaints talking about, the border and they have it. And then you turn around and you ask them, well, what do you propose? And the proverbial tumbleweed comes rolling across the Iowa landscape.
That's a better analogy.
Because I've seen tumbleweeds rumbling through the cornfields and also the pig farms in Iowa. Nothing wrong with pig farms, ladies and gentlemen. Got to have them.
Yeah.
But I been there, and I've spent some quality time there with in-laws and that. I love them to death. They're great people. But as far as the political process, it's one of these things that I'll just skip.
And
that.
I'm not going to blame Iowa for this. I'm blaming the Republicans for this. I'm blaming Donald Trump for this, because Donald Trump doesn't talk about issues ever. He doesn't talk about real life bread and butter issues. I mean, like him or not, you remember the days where John McCain would go across New Hampshire and have town hall meetings day after day after day after day, and he would talk about issues. And other candidates, Republicans and Democrats, would go around these small states and have these meetings and talk about real issues. I guess I'm a purist when it comes to the politics.
But you know,
there's nothing there. It is an empty vessel this year.
Real issues don't click off the ratings points for the news. 24-hour news stations. You bring out the sensationalism. You talk about the poisoning of this country's blood. You do things like that go so far over the edge, and you just go, "Whoa, where are you coming from? What's your end game here?" And I like to press people. What do you mean by that? I want to hear definitively, what do you mean by that phrase, poisoning our nation's blood? Huh. Really, you tell me. Tell me exactly what the, and I want you to tell, don't be afraid to say exactly what's on your mind, because I really, really want to hear it, because I think that you're stepping in big doo-doo.
We're going to come back with more with Bob Luck. He joins us for the first hour every other Wednesday. We're going to talk to Brittany Merlot about the weather coming up for a few moments, coming up next here on WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. By searching WXCO, we'll have more with Bob Look here in just a moment. But first, time to talk about the weather. And again, it's a little warmer this morning. it's only zero, but we're expecting better things to come. And to talk about what we can expect for this hump day Wednesday, and as we get closer and closer to the weekend, we're joined again from our Civic Media weather team, our Civic Media news team. She does it all, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm trying to get a voice. As a radio guy, it's very difficult when you don't have a voice.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Thoughts and prayers, please.
Yeah, seriously. I know. I was thinking about you yesterday. I started to get a little cough, and I was like, how is Chad doing this?
But
you're a trooper.
Hey, I appreciate it. But, Brittany, again, we've gone through the whole week so far with very, very chilly weather. It looks like another wind chill advisory for today. But we're starting to inch out of the deep freeze, aren't we?
We are. The worst of it is over. In fact, right now, our wind chill values are at 14 below. That's not bad compared to what we felt the last 48 hours. So we'll take it. Today, high temperatures will climb to 8 degrees, but with the winds at 10 miles per hour, so they're calming down, which is why this wind chill advisory expires at 9, so it's almost over. When it expires, we'll slowly inch toward wind chill values feeling like zero for our high. So yes, we're at an actual zero right now, but it feels 15 below. So as we climb to 8, it'll feel like zero today. So that's an improvement. That's a pretty big improvement considering this morning it felt like near negative 20 for some of us. So a 20-degree warm-up this afternoon, more sunshine out there, but the clouds, if you see a cloud, tell it to stick around. We want it because It acts as a blanket. Clouds keep us warmer. So the more clouds we have, the cold, we're not going to drop as cold overnight, which allows us to get warmer the next day. It's just like a blanket. So more clouds pushing in tonight allows us to climb to 12 degrees tomorrow. And we're actually going to feel like 12 degrees tomorrow, which is wild.
Incredible.
Finally. And right?
Also, though, it's something, you know, since last Friday, we've been in a pretty dry period. Is there any hope that we're going to get snow for those folks again? I saw one of the snowmobile trails opening. Any hope that anytime soon we could get some precipitation?
Unfortunately, not for us. Wausau keeps missing everything. We're just too far north for the few snowstorms that came, so we got the smaller amounts, and the lake effect up on Lake Superior is cranking, but that's hitting the UP right now. We're not really seeing much of that. We've got a quick shot of snow that wants to push more into the southern parts of the state tomorrow night. That's just bringing about a half an inch to an inch maximum. We're not really going to see that either. We missed that as well. So we're staying pretty dry. We just get a little cloudy tonight and tomorrow. We'll see more sunshine into Friday. Saturday is going to be abundant sunshine, bright and beautiful, highs pushing near 20. Then we start to get cloudy again into next week and warm. That's when we hit the 30s. We climb above freezing into Tuesday. And that's not good because we've got a system pushing in the middle of the week, bringing rain, potentially ice accumulations. And I could flip to snow on the back end of it. And that's just going to make all the snow that we have right now very hard and icy and melting a little bit as well. So as we track that system, I prefer temperatures to stay below freezing. I want more snowmobile trails.
You're exactly right. For those folks who enjoy the winter outdoor activities, boy, it's just been a rough winter up to this point. And as you said, the next time we have some precipitation chances, it could be rain. I mean, just gee whiz.
Just a roller coaster for us. But we're on the ride. We've got this.
All right, Brittany. Well, what does the forecast look like?
Yep, so just staying pretty cold here. High of 8 today, feeling more like 0. We'll drop tonight to 4 below. It might potentially feel like 10 to 15 below, but no wind chill advisories will likely go out. Tomorrow will be partly sunny with a high of 12. Tomorrow night we'll drop to a low of 0 with cloudy skies, maybe some light snow showers the further south you live. Friday will be partly sunny with a high of 12, and Saturday climbing to 14 degrees with abundant sunshine. And if you're looking for the above freezing temperatures, Monday and Tuesday when they start to push on in.
Okay, Brittany, well, thanks again for the information. Have a great day, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Yes, you're welcome. Stay warm, everybody.
That's our Brittany Merlot, again, joining us with the weather. The time is 8:26 again with Bob Luck. And Bob, we were talking again about Iowa, because I do think that I'm a bit of a romantic, and I was telling you about how 4 years ago I was watching a Joe Biden town hall in Iowa, and the best moments were when he was talking to the folks afterwards. He's talking to a little girl who had a stuttering problem like he did, and the cameras continued and rolled. There are good aspects to this, but the Republicans are just so bereft of anything that is of substance these days. And that, and again, I don't want to be just piling on in this way, but I just think this process up to this point, and it's because Donald Trump refuses to leave the stage, we'd be seeing, I think, a completely different kind of discussion, except he is just sucking the life out of that party.
Well, it's unfortunate that the Republican Party they have some quality people on the Republican side. Yes, you heard me say that. They are quality people. But in this atmosphere that's out there, the vitriol that's out there, the meanness, the demagoguery way of doing things is such a spoiler that the human interaction, I mean, retail politics is what a lot of people call it, where you go out, you meet the people, you talk to them face to face, eye to eye. And having done that in the past myself, you know, that was the part that I really enjoyed. Everyone always asked me, well, how'd you like running for public office? I ran for state senate and ran for Congress and that. It's like, I says, the part that I really liked was actually talking to the people, because then you start realizing there's really some great people out there who have concerns, real concerns. They're not aiming at things that are, you know, just being fed to them. They have real issues within their own lives and their own livelihoods that they want to talk to somebody who can maybe at least give them hope, give them guidance, and maybe opening up the possibilities of state agencies that could maybe give them a guiding a light to a solution to maybe something that they're dealing with. And that's what running for public office is supposed to be. You're serving your constituents. And that, I think, is what is being lost nowadays. Try calling your representatives sometimes, and they have staff members, and some people are really good on following up, and some offices are not very good at following up. But a lot of times it depends on what side of the aisle that you're coming from, whether you're going to get any kind of results or any kind of callback.
I'm going to build on what you just said after our news update, because you're exactly right when you talk about what people want to have. I got a kind of a different point of view here. We'll come right back. Mm-hmm. WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, Alexa, by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34, along with Bob Look. And Bob, you were talking before the break about, again, what the people are looking for, and about getting, you know, aid in some ways from our public officials. And if there's one person that doesn't look you in the eye, it's Donald Trump. In terms of, you know, one-on-one, because over the years, again, whether you like a politician that's running for president or not, most of them, you'll see the pictures of them talking to people, learning a little bit about them. Trump doesn't even do that. I haven't seen him talking to anybody. He just comes in, throws his red meat out there, heads off to the next trial. We hear so often about really what makes these voters tick, the Trump voters. Like you said, you talk to people. 51% of, again, very small number of people that braved the elements in Iowa this week. In your mind, what does make them tick? Because I struggle with this.
They look for answers, and a lot of times, sometimes those answers are kind of bumper sticker, you know, short little things. You know, we need to build a wall. You know, things like that. Cut taxes. You know, the simple little that people go, yeah, right, of course, everyone will think that's wonderful. But then ask, well, you know, if we're cutting the taxes, there's going to have to be some things that are going to suffer. We're going to have to maybe take this away or take that. We're going to have to take your Social Security away. What? We're going to might have to take your Medicare. What? We're going to have to take away, you know, the thing is that there's always, you know, the old professor thing, you know, has to be an equal and opposite reaction. Every action has an opposite reaction. And they never get to that point of the discussion. It always sounds great when you say cutting taxes, because, yeah, cutting taxes is marvelous. It's an easy sell. But I always ask the question, well, then what? What is going to be cut that I currently am enjoying now as a benefit from my taxes? I mean, your taxes, you know, you always say your tax dollars are work, you know, repairing roads and things that physical. But there's always the things that are anonymous, those simple little things like, you know, who's paying your teachers, you know, in the schools to teach your kids, you know, who's trying to make sure that they get the streets clean, make sure that, you know, you have a police force that, you know, protects you and is there when you need them, not hitting the number 911 and waiting 4 hours for something to be done. I mean, people wouldn't, you know, say, okay, I'll give up that if I could just cut my taxes.
One other point before we move on from this, because there'll be plenty of time to talk about this process as it continues. But I mentioned to you earlier, I think off, I was thinking last night about Profiles of Courage. And now you have in Washington almost every leadership position lined up behind Trump. And again, January 6th.
On the Republican side.
Yeah. Emphasis there. The Speaker of the House last night said, Haley and DeSantis need to get out. We got to get behind Donald Trump to get Biden out of the White House. It was January 6th, 2021, that mobs broke in with Donald Trump flags, breaking windows, banging heads. And now, there's no courage. None. I mean, and honestly, and I'm not joking here, somebody needs to write a book called Profiles of Cowardice and actually delve in to a number of these leaders who are aiding and abetting the overthrow of this government. I just think that a great majority of elected House and Senate leaders have already lined up behind Donald Trump, a man who's on trial over and over again. I mean, there is no courage counts at all. This is all cowardice. I mean, last night, you mentioned Ted Cruz before. Ted Cruz in 2016 called Donald Trump like the biggest liar in America. He just lies. And last night, I proudly endorse Donald Trump. Last week, Marco Rubio, punching bag. I proudly endorse Donald Trump. There's no courage at all there.
Well, again, politicians a lot of times are only looking out for their own survival.
Well, that's the point of Profiles and Courage.
Well, I understand that. but again, that's how you weed them out. And that's how, as an electorate, that's why when I talked about my confidence in the voters, when you get them not in a, like they do in Iowa, where you have a whole bunch of people get together and try to convince each other, you know, their side of the story. When you get in that voting booth and you're by yourself, it is just you making your decision known. And it's not a decision that everyone's going to know how you voted, but it's a secret ballot. And, you know, you could go out and say, yeah, I voted for, you know, candidate X or candidate Y. The point being is that when you have that quiet solitude of being within your own mental grasping of what needs to be done, who can do it better, who do you feel is getting in contact with you and your needs and wants for yourself and your country. That is a lot easier sell than all this, I'm going to wave this flag. I'm going to, you know, show you how I can demonstrate this and, you know, and make all right. this noise. And as this time goes on here in this election period, and again, with the state of Wisconsin, don't be surprised if it's going to be a really, really big ballot when it comes down to November. There might be a whole lot of races that weren't expected to be here because the districts are going to be redrawn, and some of these people who are currently in office are going to be up for election, talking about state Senate.
Yeah.
And just because it's changing. I received in my handy little household a little mailer, not a little mailer. See how much that would cost to have that to go into all the various voters in a particular district. Ended up on my, with the current person who occupies the state Senate seat for District 29. and, you know, laying out, oh, this is what I've been working on and all that. Do you think this would have been in your mail if the looming campaign of another race is imminent with the districts and the lines being redrawn?
Let's hope there are Senate elections across the board, because it actually brings up another topic I wanted to talk about. Just yesterday, the Republican State Senate voted to fire one of Governor Evers' appointments to the state's Public Service Commission, Tyler Hibner. He was appointed in 2020, reappointed in 2021, and the Senate just sat on it. Sat on it for 3-4 years. And then they voted to fire him yesterday. And you know why they voted to fire him? According to Julian Bradley, Republican state senator from Franklin, they were voting against Hibner because he had taken activist positions on the PESC, including supporting a policy of lower utility rates for people with lower incomes. Is that a fireable offense? And also, again, advise and consent.
If a person has a view on policy, that should not be a penalty to be thrown out of the position that he has been appointed to and approved. That's why he's there, or she's there. That state senator could have very easily, you know, said, hey, we have a problem with this thinking. I said, okay, good, let's discuss this. So if somebody, lower income people, you don't want to give them a break when you have 15 below windshields and that to pay for their utility bills and maybe make it a percentage that's a little bit more affordable for those folks. And don't give me this broad brush of saying, oh, they're just wasting money on cigarettes or booze or that. Yeah. I think most people are a little more intelligent than that.
I hope people are noticing that kind of stuff, because the way that the state Senate is using their power of
scapegoating.
I mean, but to hold it basically for years, saying, well, you better stay in line because we haven't officially approved you yet. It's wrong in every way. I mean, and again, one of the aspects of the gerrymandering has been is the idea that they feel like they can ignore the people voting for a Democratic governor. That's the bottom line.
Well, it's also why the courts finally threw out the drawing of the maps. I mean, the maps have basically been a laughing stock for the rest of the country looking at Wisconsin. It was like the, you know, it was the example of how bad it can't get. And, you know, all you have to do is look at the districts and you ask yourself as a common sense person, what the heck did they do?
And the thing is, they are just grasping, because Van Wangard, good old Van, said after the vote that he criticized Hibner for requiring utility companies to provide diversity, equity, and inclusion information to the PSC. Fireable offense. And also good for the governor. He blasted this yesterday. He said this defies logic. And he says basically Republicans are bullying these people. They basically, again, if you step out of line 1 inch according to what they're thinking, it's like, you know, taking them to the guillotine. Chop. I mean,
there is no debate, you know, when you have one party that has such a large majority, even though numbers wise they don't population in the state, but because of, again, the maps that have been, that were, and I remember this back in 2010, and I was volunteering, doing call outs to help out, you know. And that was like the number one thing. I says, you cannot let this majority, you know, go one way because they have already promised us they're going to redo the districts, and boy, it was quick. It was quick because by the time it was 2012 came around, it was like you looked at the maps and how are you going to ever, you know, figure out, you know, to run? You take a look. The maps and that, again, this is not stuff that people get excited about. What people get excited about is when things don't work well. And if you look at some of the things that are being, you know, proposed and admonished, not accepting the money back from the federal government that was paid in by the state of Wisconsin to help pay and subsidize people to for Badger Care, for some kind of health insurance policy within the state of Wisconsin. Again, this money was sent to Washington. Washington was going to send it back saying, here, help your, you know, those people who need the help to finance your health insurance, you know, Badger Care that you do in your state. No, we don't want to do that. Why? Well, then that's going to be money that we're going to have to keep replenishing. Oh, so you would rather have people not have affordable health care and probably develop health issues that's going to make things worse?
Mm-hmm.
For what? Just because you want to make a point?
That's unfortunately the way they've been working for more than a decade.
I'm just asking the question. Where's
good,
the answer?
Good question. One more segment with Bob coming up here on Bow Falls Radio. And back, Chad Holmes, almost 8:51 with Bob Look. Hey, were you surprised Sunday when the Packers dominated the Cowboys?
Dominated, yes. But a win? Not really. I thought that they would have a good game or at least be very competitive.
That was,
but
boy, that was good.
What?
That was,
yeah, it was fun. And, you know, I liked the way they came into it because all the guys in the team just realized, hey, it wasn't that long ago where no one was giving us a chance to even be in the playoffs. We get to the playoffs. All right. And, like, you know, it sounds flippish when you say, oh, they're playing with house money. Well, they were. What did they have to lose? They could have lost 50-0 and no one would have batted an eye. They go, oh, well, you know, they're a young team. They learned something.
The youngest team in the league, and they made the playoffs. We got a good future.
And everyone would have legitimized it going, well, you know, the tough Dallas Cubs. And it started right off the – they win the toss, and everyone expects them to kick off. And, you know, no, we want the ball now. And I that's when I perked up when I said they won the toss, and I went, uh-oh. He's putting the chips out there right away, and he was, you know, the coach, you know, LaFleur, and I've not been a Coach LaFleur, you know, guy. I have been very critical on. I thought a lot of the success he had was because of number 12 that he had playing quarterback. Well, I have to admit that he came in there well prepared. He knew what he wanted to do. He got it done to start. And everyone wearing those green jerseys just went, doggone, we can. And when he kind of pulled back with 5 minutes left in the game, and I was at home going, don't do it. These are pros. Don't do it. And then the next thing you know, these guys who were starting to take off their tapes, and they had to put everything back on to go back out there to make sure you got to the finish line. Don't do that ever again in professional sports. Everyone's paid on both sides.
Am I nuts? But I think they can beat San Francisco. I don't know why. I just think that
they could.
I think that, and I don't think, I'm thinking maybe they will. Not even could. That they will. I just feel like San Francisco.
It's that same feeling that we've had all the years that Brett Favre was the quarterback, when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. No matter if they were not favored or you had your doubts, you just knew that you had a little ace in the hole there. And not that I'm equating Jordan Love with those, but the way the team played, I think that playing with house money, they're going to San Francisco and go, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. And who knows? You know, Frisco hasn't played for a while, and we'll see. It'll be fun. I wrote on Facebook. I just wrote this. I says, Packer fans, enjoy the ride. And I put that on there before the game against the Cowboys. Just, hey, we didn't expect to be in the playoffs. So enjoy the ride.
And the thing about it, somebody was saying this, always says this to me, every week they win, it just shortens winter 1 week. Because if you're following the Packers for that extra week, it makes winter 1 week shorter. Because you get 1 week closer to spring if they're playing later into January.
We could just forget about the whole month of January.
There you go.
Of the Super Bowl.
I want to ask you something about college football. I mean, you saw Nick Saban retired, and it started this domino effect where Washington's coach goes to Alabama. Mm-hmm. Arizona's coach goes to Washington. San Jose State's coach goes to Arizona. And I saw an interesting article that said, coaches, yeah, they should be able to leave if they want to, but they should not be able to take their players. Do you agree with that? Do you think that a coach should be able to take players?
Well, they can't take the players. The players make their own decisions.
I know. But that should be a rule that if – I know that would hurt the players because they want to play with this coach. But the idea that these coaches leave these institutions high and dry.
I'm one of these people that says, you know, that you go where you want to go. You should not be restricted.
I've never understood contracts, though.
Yeah, well,
I would.
How many times, in this business, in the broadcasting business, when you took a job full-time, and this is something I railed about my whole career, that if you decided to take another job within the marketplace, you had to wait 6 months because of, you know. And I always said, "Why? You haven't invested in me. You're giving me a job." I mean, if somebody worked at this factory here,
right,
if the factory across the street offered him a better gig, he could just go there.
Right.
And I just don't get me going. Don't get me going about that no compete crap.
Exactly.
You know, so all you media owners out there, just remember, I still hate that little thing you hung over us all those years.
Badger hockey continues to cruise along pretty nicely.
Yep.
I tell
got
you.
Got the weekend off here. Yeah, well, you're talking about all you people up here in the Wausau area, and they're going, oh, the lack of snow. I didn't run into lack of snow last weekend.
I saw you put a note out there. Made for a trek, didn't it?
Close to 4 hours to drive from here to get to Madison on Friday. And just getting around Madison to get to the Kohl Center and all that kind of stuff.
Didn't they win like 10 games in a row? Something like that?
Yeah, 1-10. And then they got tied.
Yeah.
They won in a shootout, but still it goes in the record as a tie.
Right.
So,
but undefeated at 11?
Yeah. They're playing well. It's
fun. They win it all this year? I mean,
they
has not been a drop. I mean, they started off so well. They've just continued to be the pace setter in the Big Ten. Yeah.
But again, there's injuries that could occur. Some teams start waking up late in the year. Bob Johnson, when he coached the Badger hockey team way back in the day, his team sometimes didn't play well. But then once he got past the holidays in the new year, you just watch how well they played. And then you always start getting excited. Oh, yeah, the tournament's coming.
Are the crowds continuing to build?
Yeah, well, if we didn't have, 12 and a half.
But generally, they've been still building.
The enthusiasm is really there. And to be honest with you, I was really quite surprised at the amount of people who made it out to the Friday night game.
Which says a lot in itself, right?
Because it was not a nice night at all for travel anywhere in the Madison area.
Fantastic.
But it's fun. It's fun. And
I'm glad you're getting to get that ride.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. And the best part about it, it's the basketball team's playing well. The women's hockey team's playing well. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun in the Mad City. And so...
Good stuff.
Have fun, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Bob. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
You bet.
Coming up, news update, and then hour number two, including Sean Wright from the Grand Theater here on Bow Falls Radio.